There are two subjects of domestic policy which I mentioned last year, on which we have not produced an account of our course of action. This first is housing. We set before ourselves the provision of homes for all who need them, with priority for servicemen, as and when they come home from the war. Let me first lay down an absolute rule. Nothing can or must be done in housing or rehousing which, by weakening or clogging the war effort, prolongs the war. Neither labour nor material can be diverted in any way which hampers the vast operations which are in progress or impending. Subject to that, there are three ways in which the business of housing and rehousing the people should be attacked. Let me tell you about it. Now, I do not take the view myself that we were a nation of slum dwellers before the war. Nearly 5 million new approved houses or dwellings were built out of about 11 million in this small island between the two wars. And the British people, as a whole, were better housed than almost any people on the continent of Europe, or, I will add, in many parts of the United States of America. But now, about 1 million homes have been destroyed or grievously damaged by the fire of the enemy. This offers a magnificent opportunity for rebuilding and replanning. And while we are at it, we had better make a clean sweep of all those areas of which our civilization should be ashamed. However, I have given my word that, so far as it may lie in my power, the soldiers, when they return from the war, and those who have been bombed out and made to double up with other families, shall be restored to homes of their own at the earliest possible moment. The second attack on the housing problem will be made by what are called the prefabricated or emergency houses. On this, the Minister of Works, Lord Portal, is working wonders. I hope we may make up to 500,000 of these, and for this purpose not only plans, but actual preparations are being made during the war on a nationwide scale. Factories have been assigned. The necessary setup is being made ready. Materials are being earmarked as far as possible. The most convenient sites will be chosen. The whole business is to be treated as a military evolution, handled by the government, with private industry harnessed to its service. And I have every hope and a firm resolve that several hundred thousand of our young men will be able to marry several hundred thousand of our young women and make their own four-year plan. Now, what about these emergency houses? I have seen the full-size model myself, and steps are being taken to make sure that a good number of housewives have a chance of expressing their views about it. These houses will make a heavy demand upon the steel industry and will absorb in great measure its overflow and expansion for war purposes. They are, in my opinion, far superior to the ordinary cottage as it exists today. Not only have they excellent baths, gas or electric kitchenettes and refrigerators, but their walls carry fitted furniture, chests of drawers, hanging cupboards, and tables which today would cost £80 to buy. Moreover, for the rest of the furniture, standard articles will be provided and mass-produced, so that no heavy capital charge will fall upon the young couples or others who may become tenants of the houses. Owing to the methods of mass production which will be used, I am assured that these houses, including the £80 worth of fitted furniture, will be available at a very moderate rent. All these emergency houses will be publicly owned, and it will not rest with any individual tenant to keep them in being after they have served their purpose of tiding over the return of the fighting men and after permanent dwellings are available. As much thought has been and will be put into this plan as was put into the invasion of Africa, although I readily admit that it does not bear comparison in scale with the kind of things we are working at now. The swift production of these temporary houses is the only way in which the immediate needs of our people can be met in the 4 or 5 years that follow the war. In addition to this, and to the reconditioning of the damaged dwellings, we have the program of permanent rebuilding, which the Minister of Health, Mr. Willink, has recently outlined, and by which we shall have 200,000 or 300,000 permanent houses built or building by the end of the first 2 years after the defeat of Germany. For these 200,000 sites are already owned by the local authorities. Side by side with this comes the question and the employment of the building trade. We do not want a frantic splurge of building to be followed by a sharp contraction of the trade. I have a sympathy with the building trade and with bricklayers, for they are apt to be the first to be taken for the wars, and in time of peace they all know that if they work at their job, that when it is finished they may have to look for another. If we are to secure the best results, it will be necessary that our 12-year plan for the building trade, on which Mr. Bevan, the Minister of Labour and National Service, and Lord Portal have spent so much time, a plan that will guarantee steady employment for long periods and increased reward for increased efforts or superior skill we have. It will be necessary to see that the plan is carried out.